We're going to continue our journey through the life of Joseph. Genesis 47, we went through the first two verses last week, and we're going to pick up with verse 3 and 4 of Genesis 47. Let's just read 1 and 2 and 3 and 4. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." So finally, Joseph's family has arrived in Egypt, and they were directed to the land of Goshen with their flocks and their herds and their people, perhaps over 100 people relocating from the land of Canaan due to the sore famine that was in the land. Of course, all of this was in the plan of God. All this was according to the will of God. And Joseph goes and tells the Pharaoh that this is the case, and he appoints a five-man delegation from his brothers. No doubt he picked the best of the 11 to choose from. He picked the five that would stand before the Pharaoh in some semblance of decency. So they appear before Pharaoh, and this is a definite affair of state. This is a formal occasion. This is a formal reception. If you've ever appeared before a Pharaoh, you know that it is never a casual affair. You know, you think about appearing before the president or before the queen. Well, I'm sure the Pharaoh was similar, if not even a greater fear, but it's never a casual affair. So Joseph had carefully selected five of his brothers to represent Israel. And as is the case with most of those receptions held by the Pharaoh, they were there to ask favor of the Pharaoh. You know, if you're in a leadership role, if you're in a role of power, people will come to you and ask favors of you. That's what happens with an administrator. That's what happens with a boss. That's what happens with a king. That's what happens with a commissioner. Commissioner's phone is ringing all the time of those that ask favors, and this was no difference. Now, we have watched how all of this has come to be. This has not been a casual thing, but we have seen the hand of God in the life of this family. And we see that preparations began long ago, which now are culminating in this important meeting. You know, that's one thing that we need to remember in our own lives. As a Christian, we are not involved in casual living. Things that happen to us happen for a reason, happen to us for a purpose. There are no accidents with the child of God. And things that took place today or took place yesterday in your lives may have had preparations starting years and years ago. Perhaps a decision was made years and years ago that come to play today. So preparations in the affairs of this family began long ago. God's instruments were now about to conduct themselves as God had prepared them to conduct themselves. This meeting was planned. This meeting was foreordained. Those five that were at this meeting were known to God. And we see here that God had placed Joseph in a position of power. But God had also placed a Pharaoh in a position where he needed a Joseph. So these two parties were important in the plan of God. We have a Joseph in a position of power. We have a Pharaoh who needs a Joseph. We also have a God that has caused a famine in the land. We also see that God had placed Jacob and his sons in a position where they needed the Pharaoh's help in order to survive the famine. And all parties here were fulfilling God's will in order for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham and to prepare a people for his name, and also to prepare a place for his son to make his entrance into this world. Isn't that a marvelous thing to see how God's hand is working thousands of years prior to the great event of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world? Our God is like that. No events take place without his hand, without his touch, without his direction. And all things work together for good to them that are called according to his promise. All of these things are working themselves out. You see, all parties were fulfilling God's will here. And we see that Joseph had well prepared his brothers for this meeting. He had coached them on what questions were going to be asked. Isn't that what you do? Didn't you do that on the geography B? You didn't do it good enough, though, perhaps, because you didn't know the Native American name for Mount McKinley in Alaska. Who knows that? We still don't know it, do we? It was one of the questions. But Joseph had prepared his brothers for this meeting. He said, now the Pharaoh's going to ask this question. Perhaps the Pharaoh asked Joseph, what should I ask? Wouldn't that be good? And Joseph said, well, why don't you ask what their occupation is? And then he came back and said, now the Pharaoh's going to ask what your occupation is. You know, they do that at the high levels. So no one's caught short. This is what the president is going to ask. This is what you answer. It's all staged in a way, isn't it? But that's what Joseph had done. He prepared his brothers for this meeting. He had told them to be prepared for Pharaoh's question as to their occupation. This was important. You know, that's a normal question, isn't it, when you meet someone, isn't it? What do you do? How do you engage yourself during the day? That's a normal thing for conversation to go down. Now remember, as we said last week, Joseph had desired that they emphasize the fact that they were shepherds, so his selection of Goshen would be endorsed and his desire that they be separate would be fulfilled. Tell them that you're shepherds. Tell them that you're shepherds. I'm claiming Goshen for you. This is the perfect place for shepherds. The Pharaoh knows this, and I want this to be well known so that he endorses this. You know, this is really amazing how Joseph disdains the riches of Egypt. You know, if you were in a position of power, and it's interesting that some do become rich quickly, athletes become rich quickly, and they say, the first thing I'm going to do is to build a house for Mama. I'm going to build Mama a new house. But you become rich quickly and you have your entourage of relatives who all of a sudden think highly of you. It was not a long-standing affection. But they think highly of you and they think that perhaps some appointment would be good. You don't want your relatives to embarrass you, do you? So you elevate them to a high appointment of some sort,
In the case of this athlete, he gives his mama a house befitting his status. So that's normal for people in power to share their power or to share their wealth. But you know, Joseph was not quick in his giving of his wealth, because Joseph disdained the riches of Egypt. We know that Joseph was in a position to have his family in the court of Pharaoh. We know that he could have used his position to promote every one of his brothers to high positions of power. You know, a lot of times Christian parents do that with their children. They've come through a certain path of life, and the Lord has led them by faith in a certain direction. But then they aspire worldly things for their children. Got to have the best schools. Got to have the best money-producing jobs. Instead of saying, now wait a minute. We're pilgrims. We're sojourners. We're strangers in this land. What is best for that vocation? And that's the kind of man that Joseph was. He thought carefully about this. No, if I bring them into the court of Pharaoh, if I promote them to high positions of power, will this carry out the will of God? That's the question that you have to ask. What will this cause in the life of this person if I do thus and so? So Joseph did not use this opportunity to promote his own, because as we've seen throughout this account, Joseph was a man of faith. You know, it makes a difference if you're a man of faith as to what decisions you make. If you make decisions apart from that, you're basically a hypocrite. You have the mask of faith, and then you take the mask off, and you have another mask when you make those decisions apart from that mask of faith. See, but Joseph was a son of Israel, and he knew the Word of God. And I'm talking about the Word of God that was passed to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He didn't have the King James Version. He had the Abrahamic Version. See? It was written in Hebrew, the Hebrew of that day. But he knew the Word of God as passed down from his father, as passed down from his grandfather, as passed down from his great-grandfather. Joseph knew the plan and purpose of God and was not about to go against that purpose. Oh, yes, Reuben, how would you like to be in the court of Pharaoh, wear these marvelous robes and parade around and show that you're Joseph's brother? Oh, wouldn't that be nice? No, that wasn't the thought or the expression that came out of Joseph's mouth, because Joseph knew the plan and purpose of God and was not about to go against that purpose. You see, this is what faith in the Word of God will always do. Faith in the Word of God will always advance the purpose of God and carry out God's will. See, faith is the motivating force behind carrying out God's will. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Why? Because faith is the motivating force which enables a person to carry out God's will. That's simple. You see, the fact that Joseph disdained the riches of Egypt in itself advanced the purpose of God. If he would have clung to the riches of Egypt, he would have not advanced the purpose of God. But the very fact that he disdained the riches of Egypt advanced the purpose of God. See, Joseph, even though he was second in command throughout the whole land of Egypt, he had his head on straight, for he knew that he was a stranger. He knew that he was a sojourner looking for a city whose builder and maker was God, and he had no ambition concerning the things of Egypt. Oh, but he was second in command. Yeah, you can be second in command and be a stranger and a sojourner. You can be the president, and you can be a stranger and a sojourner looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Oh, that's a wonderful verse to keep your head on straight. What am I looking for? Why am I here? What's my purpose? Well, if you know that your purpose is a stranger and a sojourner and a pilgrim, that changes things, doesn't it? The things of this earth soon fade away and they become dim if you've got your eyes on a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, how we love to get our roots deep, but those old roots creep out when we start looking at that city. Verse 5. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. In other words, there's some changes that have taken place here. We've had 7 years of plenty, Joseph, and you've done a wonderful job in preparing the land for these years of famine in which we now find ourselves. There's changes here. Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. And that's from the Pharaoh's lips. Not just any old lips, but the Pharaoh's lips. In the land of Goshen let them dwell, and if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. This is a wonderful passage, for in this passage we see in as clear language as possible the testimony of Joseph shining forth. Don't you see that here? Don't you see the endearment that has taken place between the Pharaoh and Joseph? Can't you see the trust that the Pharaoh has in Joseph displayed in this passage? Oh, how Joseph has established himself serving the Pharaoh in these last 9 years, 7 of them plenty, and now 2 of famine. You know, it was easy to serve the Pharaoh in the years of plenty. Everything is happy days, isn't it? But now the years of famine are on the back of the Pharaoh. And yet we see in this passage that testimony of Joseph strong to carry him through these years of famine. You see, he was a testimony in years of abounding, and he was a testimony in years of abasing. You know, both are needed to truly test your character. Your character is not tested in the years of plenty the way it is in the years of famine. So that Pharaoh says, the land of Egypt is before thee. So the Pharaoh gives to Joseph full discretionary power to do what he pleases. Full discretionary power. Now the French have a word for this. They call what the Pharaoh gives Joseph carte blanche. And I hope I said that right for those that speak French. But you know, the French always have fancy-sounding words for common things. But this is what the Pharaoh extends to Joseph, carte blanche. Now, you know what that means? It means a blank paper or card, a blank card. Carte blanche. Blanche is blank and card is card. Blank card, a blank check. That's what that means. A blank check. Have you ever gone into the store with a blank check and it's signed and you give it to them? No, you wouldn't do that, would you? Just fill in the amount. Whatever you're led to put in, go ahead, put in. But that's what Joseph was given here. Joseph, I'm signing this check. You fill in the amount. See, this is a paper duly authenticated with signature and entrusted to a person to be filled up as he pleases. Hence, unconditional terms, unlimited power to decide. And that's what Joseph had here. That's the kind of testimony that Joseph had with the Pharaoh, carte blanche. You see, Joseph had already established himself that he was loyal to the Pharaoh. You see what loyalty will do? Loyalty will convince a person that you're loyal to, that you can be trusted, and that everything that you do on his or her behalf will be for his or her benefit. That's what loyalty brings. Can I trust that person to do whatever they do will be for my benefit? That's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Loyalty. So Joseph, the Pharaoh says, I know that you will choose wisely and not in any way cause hurt to me or the land of Egypt. That's why you have this signed check. The check says any land in Egypt, the best. If you choose here, you've got it. If you choose over by the Nile, you've got it. If you choose my estates to the north, you've got it. Why? Joseph, I know you'll do what will not hurt me. You know, an employer likes that in an employee, doesn't he? So the best land is yours to do with as you please, and if you please to choose Goshen, then Goshen it is. Go to Goshen. Have your way with Goshen. And then he puts this in also. Also, if thou knowest any man of activity among them, your family, then make them rulers over my cattle. This was an entrusting aspect here also. And perhaps, maybe he wants a little bit back for his giving spirit. If you're so good with cattle, then rule over my cattle. My cattle aren't doing so well in the famine. Let's take my cattle and ship them to Goshen, and you deal with my cattle. Now it's interesting, this phrase, men of activity. It comes from the root word to twist. The idea is that of a cord being twisted to make a strong and reliable rope. You know, those old cords in a rope, unless they're twisted, they don't have the same strength as they would if they're not twisted. So men of activity here means competent men of might or strength, men who know cattle, men who can bring the Pharaoh a profit, men who will look out for his interests. That's what the Pharaoh is looking for. Joseph, I want some men like you watching over my cattle. So that's what this means, men of activity. Brethren among you who have proved themselves, put them over my cattle. You know, Jesus said it this way, occupy till I come. Be a stay. Be a guy wire. Be men and women of activity. See? Oh, sometimes we think occupy till I come means to occupy a couch. See? When's the last time the floor got swept by you occupying the couch? See? When's the last time your tomatoes got planted by you occupying the couch, unless you told Charlotte to do it? She wouldn't do it. See? So occupy means be people of activity. Be engaged in my work till I come. So Pharaoh encouraged Joseph to give the care of his cattle to those who had proved himself in the same way that Christ's kingdom will be given to those who are people of activity now. Verse 7 and through 10. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father. The reception was not over. The five men had given their talk. They've appeared before the Pharaoh. They've answered the question about their occupation. The Pharaoh has leaned over to Joseph and said, Egypt is yours, Joseph, do as you please. But the reception is not over. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh. And these four words are so indicative of the status here of Jacob and the Pharaoh. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Oh, you think it was the other way around. But Jacob was not there to receive a blessing. He was there to give a blessing. And we're told in this passage he does it twice. He does it upon entrance and he does it upon exit. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, and this is another question that the elderly get a lot, how old are you? Especially when you get above 80. How old? How'd you get that old? Well, every day, just lived every day. Never had a day that didn't live. See, once I don't live, I'm not going to get there. But that's, the elderly always get this question. I mean, the exceedingly elderly. Pharaoh said unto Jacob, and he was exceedingly elderly, wasn't he? 130 years old here. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, now a lot of folks would just say 130. 130. But see, Jacob had a flair for words. He just didn't say 130. But he said, the days of the years of my pilgrimage. He's preaching here. He's witnessing here. You know, it's not very often that people ask you questions, is it? Really, when you think about it. Most people aren't interested. They're interested in themselves, and it's not very often you get a question. Well, when you get a question, be a witness. Be a testimony. So Jacob says unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are and 130 years. And then he says, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. This is not a new thing here about pilgrimages. You kind of gather, don't you? Pharaoh, you're going through a pilgrimage also. Do you know that? Never thought of it that way. I thought I was born, lived, and died, and that was the end of it. No, you're in a pilgrimage. See? And Jacob tells the Pharaoh that twice about this pilgrimage. And he also says, oh yes, I've lived 130 years, but those years are few compared to those that came before me. But he also says they were evil days. Evil days. And I want you to picture the contrast here as Joseph brings his aged father, Jacob, into the court of Pharaoh. You know, you look back, have you ever seen any of these discovery shows or some of these cable TV shows about Egypt and the glories of Egypt and looking in King Tut's tomb and seeing his death mask made out of gold and all of the glories of Egypt? Well, that was what was taking place here. That's what the court of Pharaoh was. And we see the contrast here where Jacob is brought in to the court of Pharaoh. Jacob was a dweller in tents, wasn't he? Didn't have the stone buildings. Didn't have the permanent residence. See the contrast here? You know, if you're a pilgrim, a tent does pretty good for you, doesn't it? But if you're not a pilgrim, oh, I want some pyramids. I want some stone buildings because this is it. I want permanence. But Jacob was a dweller in tents, had been going all over that area all of his life, living here for a few years, living there for a few years, living up in Haran. And no doubt his weather-beaten face revealed deep lines put there by his years of shepherding. Can you imagine the old craggy face of Jacob? Most likely the smooth, clean face of the Pharaoh. Young, perhaps. I don't know how old he was. Perhaps Joseph had given Jacob some new clothes to appear before the Pharaoh, taken away those old dusty robes that he wore through the desert, given him some new clothes. So here we see the prince with God appear before the prince of men. Remember what Jacob's name was? Israel, prince with God. So the prince with God appears before the prince with men. And catch who blesses who. Who blesses whom? Well, Hebrews 7:7 says this, the less is blessed of the better. Now translate that into what happened here. Who's better, the Pharaoh or Jacob? Well, Jacob. The less is blessed of the better. You see, the Pharaoh was prince among men and had power over men. But Jacob was a prince with God and had power in heaven. What would you rather have? Well, you got to be a pilgrim to have the latter. If you want the former, then throw off your pilgrim garbs and put on the royalty of the court of Pharaoh. You know, we always ought to remember that when we stand before men, for the fear of man brings a snare. The less is always blessed of the better. That's what you have in Christ. The ability to bless. The ability to be a blessing. Not always those that require a blessing, but those that give a blessing. Be a blessing. Why? Because the less is always blessed of the better. Oh yes, we ought to always remember that the godly pilgrim and stranger of this world is greater by far than the mighty men of earth who have the reward and then pass away. That's the position that we find ourselves in if we are children of God. So the Pharaoh asks of Jacob one question, and that question is, how old are you? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. That's the message that Jacob gives the Pharaoh. And he plants that seed of life being a pilgrimage. We've heard that message all the time in our church. Life is a pilgrimage, and a pilgrimage means that you're going from one place to another. You're here, but you're looking for another place. See? That's what a pilgrim is. I'm not satisfied with this place. I'm looking for another place. See? Oh, the goal and the purpose of the worldlings are to be satisfied in this place. And that's their quest. Never will find it. For this place is not designed to satisfy the soul. See? That's why there's millions unsatisfied. This place is not designed to satisfy. For the pilgrim is looking for a place other than this place, and that place is in Christ. The city whose builder and maker was God. All right, we'll stop there and pick up next week, Lord willing. Father, thank you for your goodness to us, giving us this lesson today. Help us, Lord, to hide it in our hearts and to be pilgrims looking for another place. In Jesus' name, amen.